Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we're in our series on living for eternity. And, you know, as we've been going through this series, the objective really of the series is how to be great forever, how to be great in God, how to have an abundant life, not just in this age, but in the age to come. And it was, we've been looking at the different scriptures, we've been seeing that so much of what our quality of life will be like in the age to come, baseline, it's going to be awesome. But there are a lot of people's lives that are going to be even better than awesome. And it's dependent, actually, on how we live in this age. And there's so much that the Word of God unpacks about that. That's the reason we've been doing this series for, you know, however long. Well, this morning what we're going to look at is we're going to connect some dots between the fruit of the Spirit and promised eternal rewards. Now, most of the time when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, everybody wants to be, you know, upbeat about it, but it's kind of like a little bit arduous. You know, you're looking at the fruit of the Spirit like, oh my gosh, this is a long list of hard stuff. And while that's probably true, this morning what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking a little bit different perspective on the fruit of the Spirit. And yes, they are things for us to labor to have be a reality in our life. But I want us to see this morning where the Word promises to reward us when we operate in those fruit and when we do those things. And so it's actually a central point to the conversation we're having about living for another age, living for the age to come, living for eternity. One of the ways that we do that, a significant way that we do that, is actually in this age, walk out the fruit of the Spirit. I love that the Lord is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're told that there are fruit of one of them. It's really fruit of all of them. But fruit of the Spirit, it's opportunities to be able to fellowship with, express, feel the presence of God as we walk out the various fruit of the Holy Spirit, attributes, aspects of His nature. I don't know that there's anything more relevant or concrete or helpful as a filter for living for eternity than living with the thought process of the fruit of the Spirit as a filter for the decisions that we make and why we're doing certain things and how we're carrying our heart. I think it's very practical. So IDing the fruit of the Spirit. We all know Galatians 5. I'm just going to read it so you got it in front of you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But here's what the Word also says, not just in one spot, in plenty of places. Psalm 19, 8 through 11 says this, "The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." There is great reward. It's not cute. It's not just rhyme language. It's actual doctrine that God is trying to help us to understand. By keeping the commands of the Lord, there is great reward in doing so. It's kind of interesting. You know, I just constantly go back to, how in the world did I become a father of three? Like, we got kids at our house. When did that happen? And just all that means in life and all that. I just think about the stuff that I tell my kids to do. I'm like, hey, you better do the thing. I'm giving them a command. But the way that the Lord does is He says, hey, you need to do the thing. And oh, yeah, by the way, you'll also get a reward if you do it. It's like double, because we already had to do it. But in His kindness, in the generous Father heart of God, He's like, if you'll do the right thing, not you don't just come to a break-even point. I'll actually then reward you. I will actually give to you on top of you did the thing you were supposed to do. I'll reward you by keeping them. There is great reward, and just remember who the rewarder is. Now, we're given the fruit of the Spirit not just in Galatians 5. Those principles are all over the Bible. I mean, Paul in Galatians is kind of giving us a little snapshot. He's putting them all together in a little one phrase, you know, one-liner so that the kids have got something to sing in children's church. But it's like, but what's really happening is those fruit are all throughout the Word of God because they're attributes that God wants us to live out. They're pieces of the kingdom of God. They're pieces of God's nature. But by adhering to them, there is great reward. You know, that's a really different thought process. When you take the fruit of the Spirit, as long as it's arduous, it's what I got to do, that's, oh my gosh, God's bar is up here. Love, joy, patience. I hate being patient. It makes me mad just thinking about the Word. And it's like, the bar is up here. As long as we're looking at it as just this bar that we're supposed to reach to, there's not a ton of motivation. In fact, we can wind up in condemnation. They're like, dude, have you seen my life? There's a lot of them fruit missing. It's like, but as long as we see it that way, it's tough for motivation. But when we understand in keeping them, in doing them, in living them, practicing them, reaching for them, weak as we are, there is great reward from a Father who has abundant ability to bless you. And actually, most of those rewards you won't see in this age. You'll see some. But the best, coolest thing that ever happens to you right now in this age, it's piddly by comparison to what's coming. And don't forget, whatever happens to you in eternity happens to you forever in eternity. It's the cake that you can't eat enough of. It just keeps multiplying back every time you take a bite. It's the rewards that are everlasting. So whatever graces and good things we see in this life, it's pale by comparison to what we're going to experience in the age to come. I just want us to be thinking about the fruit of the Spirit through the lens of when I choose to do this, when I operate in this fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, justice, self-control. When I do that, there is a great reward from the great rewarder. He sees it. We're sowing into the next age. Just the verse from last session, Galatians 6:8, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Again, we talked about that not just being a salvation issue. It's actually the quality of living eternal life. What will you reap? You do a little bit of sowing of the fruit, you'll reap a little bit of that in the age to come. You do a lot of sowing of the fruit of the Spirit, you will reap a lot of it in the age to come. The sowing and reaping thing is really cool, especially when you start thinking about the one who you're talking to and his unbelievable pay scale. He's like, yeah, if you work an hour for me, I'll give you $10 trillion. This is really good. I'm working 2 hours. If that's the pay scale, he's like, oh, yeah. And actually, it's the money that doesn't ever go away. It keeps on giving. When we're looking at the Lord's reward scale, it's totally disproportionate. It's completely unfair, all in our favor. It's stacked in our favor. And so when we sow into the Spirit, we are sowing into our eternity. We will reap an eternal reward, an eternal inheritance based off of that fruit. Well, we read in 2 Peter that we're never done, which I think we know, but it's a really good reminder that we've never arrived. So whatever level of love, joy, peace you got, you need more. You need more, and not only that, you want to add to it. And here's what Peter says on this same subject. And notice some of the fruit are different in this list. Some of them are straight out of Paul's Galatians 6, but some of them aren't. Or Galatians 5. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure. I just want to stop there for a second. Increasing measure. It's so easy to taper. Like we have a win and then we think we can coast. I don't know where we got that principle, but it wasn't in the Bible. We probably got that principle actually from the enemy. He's probably like, okay, good, just celebrate your victory and now coast and go sin. You know, go do something stupid. It'll balance out because you've already done right. It's like, I don't know where we got the idea, but it wasn't the Lord, okay? But it's so just innate to us that we're kind of at the mountaintop. We did, like, we've worked our tail off, and we really took a step forward in our faith in some area. And there's this tendency to get there and then to taper. I actually think most of it actually comes by comparison. I think our tapering mostly looks at, we look to our neighbor and we go, well, I'm better than them. I've got more fruit in this area than they do. So therefore, I must be doing okay. And the Lord's like, the tree is really, really big. It's a really, really big, reach higher for more fruit, like, you have tapped the trunk. So what if they're still staring at a root? Like, who cares? Why in the world do we compare ourselves to each other as that's like somehow the basis of the kingdom of God? That isn't going to work at all. Well, my friend was dumber than me. We stand before the Lord. He's like, none of that matters. Y'all were all a hot mess. I asked you to increasingly grow in these virtues. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind and forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. I don't know if you check that. It says actually saved people, people that love Jesus, they continue to grow in the fruit of the Spirit and they find it unacceptable to taper or to regress. They go, no, I've got the Spirit of God living in me. I want to increase in these virtues. I want to grow. I want to add to them. I want to continue to reach. Lord, give me more. And actually what Peter says, and Peter at this point, remember, he's the rock. Okay, Peter is this rock apostle in the New Testament church. And he says, if you're not living that way, you're nearsighted. You've forgotten that God cleansed you. What are you doing? Get back on the train. Let's go forward. Don't stop and don't go backwards. Keep moving forward. Keep reaching. And the one that doesn't, just look at this. It's kind of intense. Anyone who does not have them, he's nearsighted, blind, and forgotten he was cleansed by Jesus. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to stand before him and have him go, I love you so much, but you're nearsighted and blind, and you've forgotten what I did for you. It's horrifying. Don't be that. Reach for the fruit of the Spirit. Reach continually. Increase. Increase. Fruits grown carefully over time. It's kind of a pain. I look at some of the fruit of the Spirit, some of the things in my life, I'm like, oh my gosh, can we just get on with it already? Like, why is this still this little ugly sapling tree? Like, what is going on? Why is this thing not growing? This fruit is so small in my life. It takes time. It takes careful cultivation. You are not going to accidentally grow in the fruit of the Spirit. I'll promise you that. You'll accidentally go the other way. And there's a lot of accidentals happening around here, huh? Just there's so much effort. There's so much that requires our investment. I just thinking the reason that Paul picked fruit, he picked, you know, agriculture language, is because the society understood. It's like, yeah, if you want something to grow, you got to water it. It's got to get the right amount of sunlight. Too much sunlight, bad. Too much water, bad. Too little water, bad. I mean, it's just, you're looking at all the different details. Too many pests, environments, and things. And you can't, you got to prune it, but you can't prune it too much or you'll kill it. I mean, there's just all this careful cultivating. And if that carefulness isn't there, the fruit won't grow. It just won't grow. It takes careful cultivation. What does that careful cultivation look like? I'm just going to break it down. I think it's 10,000 choices of submission. I think it's just submitting to God. It's submitting to that fruit and the principles of it. You go, joy. I just think about joy as one of the fruit of the Spirit right up there with all these other things we can choose. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I mean, kindness isn't an accident. It's on purpose. But so is joy. And I look at the fruit of the Spirit, and it's like it's carefully cultivated in 10,000 choices of submission. I don't feel joyful right now. I feel unjoyful. Lots and lots of unjoyful. But I'm going to submit to the Spirit and the fruit of joy, and I'm going to say, God, I want to be joyful. Help me be joyful. I'm going to stick my finger. At least half my smile goes up. The other half, the Lord's got to stick his finger. But it's like, I'm going to press in for joy. I'm not going to just going to settle into, I just got problems, I can't be joyful. Or I've just got too much going on, these people are dumb, so I'm not going to be patient. Or I don't really feel like being loving. Instead, we're going to press in. It's 10,000 choices of submission. It's just again and again and again. We submit to the word, we submit to these fruit, and we go, yeah, help me, Lord, help me. Do you know if you'll ask for help, he'll help you? And if you don't ask for help, you're still stuck with you? I hate being stuck with me. There's just not a lot good going on there. But every time I ask for help, it's available. He actually loves the fact that the entire system of the kingdom of God is built upon interdependence. You can't do it by yourself. And when you try, you fail. I keep failing. Well, how involved are you getting God? And it's, well, I don't really get God involved. I'm just trying to do the fruit. Congratulations, your fruit will be ugly forever. You will be an ugly tree. It'll be sweet. We'll just forever. You're going to be an ugly tree. You got to learn to lean. You got to learn to lean into the Lord. He actually wants those fruit to grow, but you can't grow them by yourself. You submit to the process. You say, Lord, help me. Help me. You recognize the fruit of the Spirit is the right answer every time. What a horrifying thought process. In our internal workings, all the situations, all the relationships, conversations, how painful is it that the fruit of the Spirit is the right answer 10 times out of 10? But when we can start to take that process and go, okay, well, I recognize anger, wrath, resentment, bad. Like, that is not God. Love and joy, these are actually the virtues that the Lord is after. That's the beginning of submission, because you've submitted your will to his instead of thinking that you're smarter than him. And we all do, right? Like, what the world is wrong with us? We're ants running around here. And God is like so wise and big, and we're like, we're smarter than you, like some little ant. Like, what in the world? The Lord knows. And if we'll do that first point of submission, you're right, I'm wrong, that's a starting point, and then the grace of the Lord starts coming as soon as we admit that we're wrong. Then you go, help, more grace comes when you ask for help. Then the Lord starts to give you little nudges, and you follow those nudges instead of following your flesh. There's more grace available. It's 10,000 choices. Here's what also happens, which this is the sweet stuff right here. The Spirit increases in our life as we submit to the fruit of the Spirit. So while we have to reach for the fruit of the Spirit, the more that we reach for the fruit of the Spirit, the more natural it is to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. So it actually, it's like this cycle that's helpful. So that it's not this impossible uphill journey the entire time. You do have some real hard stuff, real difficult moments, real yes moments, real difficult submission moments. But as you do, it starts to become more native to you to walk with the Spirit. And then the fruit of the Spirit actually becomes more normal, easier to do. I mean, just think of any normal, natural task you've ever done. The first time you did it, you were horrible at it. Like, oh my gosh, all the coordination that it takes to do whatever. But the more that you do it, the more natural it is to you. Well, it's actually similar with the fruit of the Spirit. But then you, not just that you know how to do the thing, you actually start to feel the presence of the Lord in your life enabling you to do those things. So while, yes, it's 10,000 choices, in some ways the choices actually get easier to make, though then the Lord ups the ante, and what it will take to say yes to that thing actually increases. So you start to feel the internal strength of the Lord. But last year when you faced this struggle, it was at a level one difficulty. And your fruit was at a level zero. And you had to really reach for that. Now you're in a similar situation, but the difficulty is a level four, but you've got the grace of the Holy Spirit in you from your agreement. Again and again, those 10,000 choices of submission, it actually makes it easier to walk with the Lord. The more you walk with the Lord, the easier it is to walk with the Lord. This is great. The fruit of the Spirit, it's the same way. Now, what I want to do for the next few minutes, and this is not comprehensive. I just want to give you a few of the fruit. I picked like six of them or something that have specific eternal rewards connected to them. And I want you to see, oh, wow, that fruit of the Spirit actually has the promise of eternal rewards connected to that specific fruit of the Spirit. It's not limited to these. It's for all of them and everything else. I just want us to get that whole, you know, Psalm 19 that we were reading a minute ago, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. I want you to see, I want you to get a vision for the reward and recognize that the Lord has no end to what he's able to do. Let's start with love. Luke 6, 35. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great. Reward for love. It's not just enemies. Jesus was pointing that out because it's the hardest to love enemies. We want to love everybody. But as we do, God goes, oh, all that's fruit. I see that. I'll actually reward you. These are the words of Jesus right here. This is Jesus talking about how to move on up in the kingdom. This is Jesus explaining how this thing works. When you choose to love, he says, I see it, and great will be your reward. I see it, and I will reward you for that act of love. See, most of the time with the fruit of the Spirit, nobody knows and nobody cares. It's just a conversation between you and God. Most of it, it's just so hidden. And the Lord loves that aspect of our relationship with him. Most of our relationship with God is so behind the scenes, nobody knows, but God knows. He double knows. He pays way more attention. You ever have a conversation with somebody and they're looking at you and they're going, and they're not listening to a word you're saying? God, I promise you, is paying attention way more than that guy. He's paying attention. He is focused and he is intent on rewarding you according to your submission to his purposes, your submission to the Holy Spirit, your submission to the fruit of the Spirit. He will reward you. So there's love. How about patience? Also translated perseverance in some translations. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself. You know what always give yourself means? Persevere. That's what that means. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not the word reward, but it's the concept for sure. You know that by your always giving yourself fully to the work, that's perseverance. That's what that means. It's not do the work one day. It's not do the assignment one time or, you know, when you feel like it, always fully. Always fully is tough. I just want to tell you, the Lord sees always fully every time and he loves it. Big smile on God's face. Always fully makes God smile. When you always fully give yourself to the work of the Lord, you persevere in that, he says, ooh, your labor won't be in vain. I see it. I will reward you for always fully. Perseverance. How about kindness? Mark 9, tell you the truth. Anyone who gives a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. A cup of Wawa. I mean, we're talking about the most basic thing here. This is kindness. Like, you're thirsty? Yeah, here's a cup of water. I want to get a reward. It's like, Lord's like, okay, that works. I mean, you were kind. Your motivation, I want you to see this. This is Jesus actually encouraging us to think that way. You got some people are like, I don't need a reward. I want one. In fact, I want yours too. I mean, the word says I can. I don't want to live some other version of Christianity. I want to live the one the Bible says. And Jesus says, if you give somebody cold water, I'll reward you for it. I'm getting a big old bucket. I'm going to stand outside on a hot day. Just wah, 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 wah. Because the Lord says, I will reward you. I mean, that's just, you will not lose your reward. That's just incredible that Jesus is trying to help us to understand acts of kindness. It's an act of service. It's going out of your way. But it's pretty, this one specifically, it's so basic. It didn't require like a whole afternoon of effort. Imagine what a whole afternoon of effort means to the Lord. See, the Lord loves to motivate his children through the promise of eternal rewards. We're going to stand before him one day, and we're actually going to have an accounting of everything we did. And he's going to go, you are saved or lost, not contingent on your deeds. You cannot get saved by doing deeds. You are saved or lost by giving your life to Jesus, choosing to follow him. But now that we've settled that and you're in, let's talk about what's about to happen to you because you're about to get an upgrade. And it's contingent on the way that you lived. And an assessment is made. Cup of water, you know, cup of water. Ooh, two cups of water. And there's going to be this assessment made. It's just incredible. Listen, if we can get a hold of this now, it completely changes the way we live. And that's the point. And that's the point from the Holy Spirit. It's not like this is, you know, some like side point in the scripture, like, well, since you guys are so carnal, you can't do right because it's right. I'll settle for giving you a reward. It's God's heart as a father that loves to give. It's on purpose. It's plan A. It's not plan B. Plan A is to motivate you to live right now by promise of eternal goodies. This is actually the process of the Lord. Goodness or righteousness, either one of those, it's the same. Matthew 13:43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their father. He who has ears, let him hear. Proverbs says, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Righteousness, goodness, the choice to do the moral thing, to live righteously, to make the righteous decision. There's promise. When you're in those moments, I mean, we've all been there before. You're like, do I steal the thing? I really like to steal the thing. Nobody knows if I'd steal the thing. Do I steal the thing? And you choose to not steal the thing. Instead, you choose to go make it right. In fact, maybe even expose the weakness that made that so easy to steal the thing. You choose righteousness in the decisions. You're in those moments like you're on the fence. You could go this way or this way. And you choose righteousness. You will reap a sure reward. We think that our eternity is going to be based off of just the five big decisions we make in our life. No, it's mostly going to be based off of the 50,000 little decisions we made. The little ones where we chose to partner with the fruit of the Spirit. Moving on, faithfulness. 1 Samuel 26:23, the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness. We just touched on righteousness. Every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. Faithfulness is so tough because you can't prove faithfulness in a minute or even a month. Faithfulness is time. It's time tested. It's the right thing again and again, which is the reason it's partnered with righteousness. Because you're rewarded for the righteous act, but you're doubly rewarded for faithfulness in the righteous acts by continuing the process, by walking it out. Eternal rewards, people. Some of you are some of the most faithful people I know. God sees that, and he says, I will give you a sure reward. You will be rewarded for your faithfulness in this age. We're going to stand before him. We're going to be totally shocked at the pay scale. That little act of faithfulness, that little thing that we just kept doing, it was kind of mundane. You know, most of faithfulness, it's just mundane. It's just like, I'm going to do this thing again and again. I'm going to show up again and again and again and again. He doesn't really feel that glorious. It doesn't really feel that anointed or like moving of God. You just kind of like do it because you know it's right and he told you to do it, or the Bible says to do it, or your leader said to do it, or whatever. Your boss said to do it. And you just keep doing it. He says, I see that faithfulness and I will reward you for it. That's a powerful tool to keep doing right, especially when our flesh says, I'm done. You done? I'm done, son. I'm giving it away. I'm done with this. I'm passing it off. I'm quitting. I'm throwing in the towel. But the Lord says, actually, this is the moment where you might wind up even with an exponent on that reward if you'll just keep going. Because I reward faithfulness, and faithfulness just keeps going. It just keeps going. The Lord says, I see your acts of faithfulness. This is so powerful to live by this stuff. So that we don't look at faithfulness as, that's what good Christians do. I want to be rich forever. I want to be faithful so I can be rich forever. And God says, I like that. I actually put that idea in the Bible. That's not your idea. That was my idea. Gentleness. This one's just nuts. This is King Saul, who is not in a good spot. He is in a bad way. He's on his way out. But he says this, 1 Samuel 24. He's talking to David, who should have just killed him. David could have just gotten rid of his problem if he just would have killed Saul in that cave. He says, you have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him go away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. Gentleness, probably in its most extreme example. Gentleness, being gentle. I think about that in all the times where I get frustrated. It's like, oh, chill out, man. You'll get rewarded for gentle. You'll get nothing for acting in the flesh. You'll get nothing by responding the way that the situation would probably call for and dictate. Don't do it that way. Respond in gentleness. The Lord sees it and will reward it. Gentleness is so contrary to our nature. It's so contrary to our culture. It's so contrary to social media. Some of us need to learn how to be gentle in social media. Okay, because there's a little bit of something else going on sometimes. It's like, what if we learn to be gentle? Because he says, I will reward you. It's so contrary. It's not our nature to be gentle. Our nature is to snap. Our nature is to be harsh. Gentleness. Now, I just want us to see these and go, this is a pattern. It's not, I just picked six of them. I didn't want to do nine of them. I didn't want to do however many. This is a pattern of the scripture. That there's not just you should be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. There's reward for it. It's actually germane to the conversation we're having about living for eternity. It's right up in there. It's closely connected. If we will live for eternity and process life through the fruit of the Spirit, I just thought of it this way. What if we started to let the fruit of the Spirit be our teacher? What does this situation call for? Try to figure out the fruit of the Spirit that it most is most applicable. And then live out the fruit of the Spirit in that situation. Let it be our teacher, our instructor. Too often, I think we let our I want, I think, I feel be our instructor. We need to figure out how to way to shoot that person. That internal voice, we just need to figure out a way to just bust a cap. We need to just end that thing. I, me, mine. There's no place. There's no place in the Word of God for I, me, mine. It's just not in there. And so we're just constantly thinking about, we're allowing I, me, mine to be our teacher and to be our filter. Like, no, let's let the fruit of the Spirit be our instructor in this situation. Ask this question as a life filter. Which one of the fruit of the Spirit am I operating in right now? Oh my gosh, I wrote that down. And I started to look at it. I was like, I don't know that I want to say that out loud. Then I'm accountable for it. was like, that's a tough one. I was like, felt the Holy Spirit nudging me. I'm like, oh no, now it's an obedience issue. Just ask the question, like right now, you are piping hot mad. You are yelling and throwing stuff. Just which one of the fruit of the Spirit am I currently operating in? You're dreaming of ending someone because of a traffic situation. Which one of the fruit of the Spirit am I currently operating in? You know, you got troubles with your family or your friends or your neighbor. It's like you're just imagining all these things. Like, which one of the fruit? I think it's actually a pretty good filter. So just ask the question, because it's cute. I mean, it's kind of fun to say it on a microphone in front of y'all. But it's really tough when it's me and God over here. Just the two of us talking. And I got to process and go, well, Lord, I don't know that I got a good answer right now on that one. He's like, okay, well, change the narrative. Allow the teacher, the counselor.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.